want it in overtime? I think you're going to get one.
And we are headed to overtime.
And we are through four in 60 minutes. Not enough.
Oh, my God, we're going to overtime.
Yes, indeed, we are. Welcome back to Overtime here on the Colts Audio Network. This episode of OT is coming to you immediately following day three of the NFL draft. All seven rounds are in the books. We're breaking down all the picks for the Colts here in 2024. Matt Taylor, joined by Casey Vallier, J.J. Stankovic. We're inside the Indiana Union Construction Industry Radio Studio, recapping the entire draft. And we're going to discuss day three, then put a bow on everything, talk about how Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in totality affects the Colts roster heading into training camp. Certainly a long way before we get to that. But fellas, how are we doing today? Casey, how you doing?
I'm good. It's you
look kind of blurry-eyed over
well,
there.
Well, it's one of those where everything's kind of rolled together these last 3 days. It's been a whirlwind. But, yeah, it's exciting. You know, you always have something new to talk about now once the draft is over. So.
No doubt. JJ, you're going to have a cold one tonight, I think.
Absolutely going to have a cold one tonight after a long
cold
three
few,
days.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see if I'm living the high life.
MGD reference over there.
I like it.
This has
nothing to do with the draft. For me, Miller High Life is the best post-work beer in existence. It's just beer. You just go home, you crack it, it's cold. You drink it, and you're like, I just drank a beer.
It goes down smooth. I don't know about coming out, though.
I don't know if anyone tuned into this podcast to hear my opinions on post-work beers, but Miller High Life, the champagne of beers, is the best of them.
I like it.
There you go.
I'll be having one or two of those after we're done here.
The post-draft beer, nothing better. All right, let's first give you the setup from Friday night going into Saturday, just so you have some background here. So the Colts were part of a couple of trades on Friday, traded back from 46 to 52. With Carolina on Friday night. They acquired a couple of picks in the fifth round. At 52, the Colts drafted wide receiver Adonai Mitchell from Texas. Then the Colts traded up from 82 in the third round to number 79 with Arizona. And then they drafted Matt Goncalves. Are you saying Goncalves or Gonzalves?
I believe it is Gonzalves.
You'll need to get clarity on that once rookie minicamp is here, right?
You and I are going to need to get clarity
on
that.
Yeah, we'll need to know. But he's an offensive tackle out of Pittsburgh. The Colts, during that process, traded their sixth-round pick for the rights to move up to him. And then that left the Colts with five picks heading into today, Saturday. A fourth-rounder, three in the fifth. Going into today, no picks in the sixth round, and then also a seventh-round pick at 234. So as Saturday approached, the first pick for the Colts on Saturday in the fourth round, that saw them bring home a center or a guard, depending on how you want to view things here. That would be Tanner Bordellini from Wisconsin. Last year, started all 12 games for the Badgers. Saw his playing time go up every single year. Last year allowed just one sack over 477 pressures and definitely fits that criteria the Colts want at center or the interior offensive line positions. Third team all Big Ten, according to the media. We can go on and on and on, but he's a workout warrior, a really, really good athlete. Obviously, the Colts prioritize that. So, JJ, I'll start with you. That made two of the first four draft picks for the Colts offensive linemen. The Colts are bringing back all of that offensive line from last year. In fact, they're top seven players along that offensive line. So why so heavy at the top of the draft, at least on Saturday at that position?
Well, two things, Mate. I think your needs today are not going to be your needs tomorrow. I say that a lot, but that's an important thing to keep in mind as you evaluate, why'd the Colts go with this position or that position? You know, the Colts do have some players who are going to be up for free agency after the 2024 and then 2025 seasons on the line. You know, you're looking at even going into 2025, you know, like Bernard Raimann, Braden Smith are both going to be free agents. 2024, Ryan Kelly and Will Fries are going to be free agents after the season. So you want to have guys in the hopper in case you aren't able to retain those players on the offensive line. The other part of it, and Chris Ballard talked about this on Friday, is that anywhere you can create competition is going to make you better. And the Colts offensive line last year was good. But you never can sit here and say, we don't need to do anything to address it. Right. That is a mentality that will get you in trouble. So, the Colts don't have a red line need at any position on their offensive line. But with Gonzalez and then Bordellini, you're looking at two guys who, you know, plus Blake Freeland as well, a guy who the Colts, you know, Chris Ballard said has added some weight, added some strength in the offseason as they expected him to. You're looking at three young guys who will push to play, but also if something were to happen, you're not feeling, terrified at what you might need to do in terms of depth. So I get it on that front. And, yeah, I mean, in a couple of years, those guys could become starters or they could compete to be starters right now. Yeah. We'll see.
And you're looking, Casey, Bortolini, he was going into the season last year, his last year at Wisconsin. He was going to be the projected right guard.
Yeah.
But they had to move him to center. Jake Renfro was sidelined because of a foot and an ankle problem. So he had to actually start a couple of games at center. So he comes out very well established and versatile. Started 8 games at left guard in his career, 3 at right guard, and then 3 at right tackle on top of center. So he's got some versatility about him as well.
And that's one of the things that I think you can never have too much, especially when you think about, you know, the offensive line and all of the, you know, what happens if this happens here. When you have a guy who has established play at a level like the Big Ten, played every position at Wisconsin outside of left tackle and did it at a high level, that is never something you can overlook. So when you think about depth and you think about that, it's a Swiss Army knife. You can plug in and play in multiple spots. And, you know, one of the things you always talk about as you head into a season is, you know, who is going to be our swing tackle, and that is a key one. But also, you also need that interior help and a guy that if, let's say, something happens to that swing tackle, who's that guy kind of waiting in the wings, and that might be Taylor. I mean, Bortolini's a guy mm-hmm. who has that experience of playing kind of all over the line.
By the way, just real quick on Bortolini, he is a remarkable athlete.
Yes.
If you look at his athletic testing profile, and this is something that I don't know if you guys follow Josh Norris on Twitter. Josh mm-hmm. Does stuff for Underdog Fantasy. Before that, he was NBC Sports and yeah. RotoWorld's draft analyst. Does a great job. And he's been on this for like years, that since 2010, just 28 offensive linemen recorded a 4.47 short shuttle or better at the NFL Combine. This is a tweet from 2023, so it hasn't been totally updated yet. 24 were drafted. Those 24 went on to start 84% of their NFL games. And you look at guys who were drafted on day 3 who hit that mark, 4.47 in the short shuttle, which the punchline to hold this is that Tanner Bortolini was under that.
Okay.
He was under the 4.47 short shuttle. But you're looking at a guy like Zach Tom, who was a 17-game starter for the Green Bay Packers last mm-hmm. year. Joe Haig, who we know here, started 40 games in his NFL career. Charles Leno Jr. was a 7th-round tackle of the Bears, started 128 games
yeah.
in his career. And then there's just Jason Kelce sitting there who also
just
hit that mark. Yeah. And we're not comparing Tanner Bortolini to the greatest center to ever play football, but that's just to give you an idea. Sometimes when you take these shots on guys on day 3 and they have certain athletic testing numbers and good tape, which Bortolini has, you're like, yeah, you know, okay, let's give it a go. Bortolini, by the way, he broke Jason Kelce's combine record in the 3-cone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was so, at, what, 2011?
Yeah.
Somewhere
so
there?
I believe it's, I don't remember if it's a center or an offensive lineman, has run a 3-cone faster than Tanner Bortolini. And does that mean he can go block, you know, Jeffrey Simmons every
right,
single play?
Right.
I don't know. But it's a good benchmark for him to start developing in the NFL under Tony Sperano Jr.
Yeah, 4.94 40-yard dash for Tanner Bortolini.
Over 300 pounds.
Hell of a pasta maker, too. Bortolini's. I wonder if they take reservations. I'm trying to get in there tonight on a Saturday night following the draft.
That sounds like like Anthony Costanzo's second family restaurant.
Yeah.
After
yeah,
Oregano's is Bortolini's.
It's the sister restaurant to Oregano's. Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, Bortolini right here. We do have some sound from each guy here. We'll try to incorporate it as best we can. But this is Tanner Bortolini on why he was able to play so many positions in college along the offensive line and thrive.
So I would say it started off by learning center, and that was a really big thing for me, is that if I learn center, I'm able to know what everyone has to do on every play. So that put me in a position to be able to swing around like that. And then playing small school football, I think, allowed me to get a lot of, you know, athleticism, you know, coordination-wise, so I felt comfortable flipping stances. And it's obviously something you have to get used to, but something I felt like, you know, the older I got or the more comfortable I felt going back and forth. And it's just, you know, it's a little different, obviously. There's little ins and outs to each one, but the more I did it, the more confident I felt in that ability. And I think it's something that is really going to prove valuable at the next level.
Indeed. All right, Tanner Bordellini. He is the fourth-round draft pick for the Colts. Let's go to round number five with their fifth pick in the fifth round. The Colts draft Anthony Gould out of Oregon State, a very speedy wide receiver, played all over the field in college but was predominantly on the outside, comes out a year early. He's a junior. Last season named All-Pac-12 honorable mention, played in 11 games a season ago, 44 grabs, 718 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Second on the team in catches, also has enticing return ability, fellas. The last 2 years, he had 22 punt returns for an average of 369, was named a first-team All-American as a punt returner in 2022. Actually, that year, he led the nation in punt return average at 18.3.
Yeah.
Great speed.
This is punt return average, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Punt return
that's
almost.
That's like you're getting almost two first downs.
Every time you kick the ball, man.
So a former high school track star with the speed, ran 4.39 in the 40. His athleticism score was 91. That was fourth best among receivers at the combine. All of that speed, all of that athleticism led to three catches of over 50 yards last season for Oregon State. So pretty clear, JJ, the Colts are bringing in players. You got Mitchell, now Gould, that can take the top off the defense. Went on the outside for Anthony Richardson. That was a big, you know, remedy number one to address on offense heading into this draft.
I'm interested in what the plan on offense for Gould is going to be, because you know Shane Steichen has one. And, you know, I don't think you're looking at him and saying this guy is going to, you know, be a day one starter on offense. Just given his size, yeah, he does have experience on the outside, but, you know, Josh Downs, that he's your slot. And then you've got, you know, Michael Pittman Jr., you got A.D. Mitchell, you've got Alec Pierce as outside guys. Ashton Doolin is your do-it-all guy. Mm-hmm. And then Anthony Gould's probably the sixth guy in there. So you're not maybe looking at a ton of snaps on offense for him, but, like, if he gets five snaps a game, you know Shane Steichen's going to have something dialed up for him, because this guy is explosive with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, an end-around, a reverse, a jet sweep.
A bubble, wide receiver, something to get the ball in his hands. And, again, you're not talking about this being probably an every-down thing.
Right.
You know, you're not even envisioning him to have a role like probably A.D. Mitchell's going to have as a rookie. But as a guy who can contribute a little bit on offense, but then potentially if this guy's your punt returner and maybe even your kick returner, with the new kickoff rules, you're feeling pretty good about what you can do with him with the fifth-round pick.
No, and that's the biggest thing. I think that, I mean, clearly we talk about all of his numbers that he had in college, mainly as a punt returner. I think he had just one kickoff return. But with the change, I'm interested to see how that is going to start making special teams coordinators look at that position, and with how dynamic he is as a punt returner. And also, you talk about he may not have such an important role as far as what he's doing offensively. You almost want that to be one of your guys as your main returner. Like if, you know, let's say Dallas Flowers or Josh Downs, those guys being used, Ashton Doolin is a guy, but you look at their roles at their respective positions. You know, Dallas Flowers is probably going to be counted on a lot at corner, and then you got Josh Downs who's going to be playing a lot of snaps offensively.
Right.
To have a guy you can plug in who can, you know, with the ball in his hands, clearly he can do it all. That's probably something that's really enticing for this group to kind of get their hands on to see what he can do.
All right, some sound. Anthony Gould on the hallmarks of his game. What makes him special?
Oh, yeah, you know, I think obviously, you know, the speed down the field. But also, you know, the intermediate and short game as well. You know, I ran a full tree at Oregon State where, you know, we're having to take deep shots, but we're also, you know, we're living in the middle of the field and, you know, running a lot of stuff, you know, from the slot. So, you know, luckily for me, I played outside and inside in college. So, you know, I'm a guy you can put wherever, you know, game plan wise. So, yeah, I think, you know, just obviously the deep shots, but, you know, the intermediate game as well, all the stuff underneath.
All right, that's Anthony Gould. He was the first of three draft picks for the Colts in round number five. So let's fast forward now. We go to pick number 151 for the Colts in the fifth round. They drafted Jalen Carlisle out of Missouri. And raise a toast. The alma mater, JJ, is represented here with the
first
Indianapolis
one.
Colts.
Yeah, I had a guy from my high school play for the Colts before a guy from my college.
Wow.
Dallas Flowers.
Yeah, and I went to a pretty big football school in college and a pretty small football school in high school.
Yeah, you and Dallas Flowers shared a locker.
You go way
back. Yeah, I'm definitely as old as Dallas Flowers.
But anyways, Carlisle played safety in college, but man, this guy, he's got great size. What great measurables here. He also played corner in college as well, played that hybrid role. I mean, whatever was asked of him based on the opponent, he's able to do it, right? You're talking about a safety, a corner, outside linebacker at times based on the opponent. 6'4", 220, started at least 12 games in each of the past three seasons for the Tigers, played in 48 games total, and he's been the leading tackler on the team, all right? He plays in the secondary, Casey. He's been the leading tackler on the team for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
He was their leading tackler in their big bowl win over Ohio State. A takeaway machine in college, had a takeaway with a forced fumble, a recovery, or an interception in four of the Tigers' last six games last season, and recorded multiple interceptions and tackles for loss in each of the final 3 years at Missouri. But the thing that stands out to me here is the size. Again, he can play safety. He can play linebacker. JJ, are the Colts listing him coming out as a linebacker?
They're listing him as a linebacker coming out. And that is owing to, I mean, like you mentioned, Mete, the size. He's already 227 pounds. Just a quick scan. I'm pretty sure he was the heaviest, quote-unquote, safety that Dane Brugler compiled in the Beast, his big draft guide for The Athletic. But the thing, it's not the 6'2", the 227, the 4'5", 40 for me. This guy has 34.5-inch arms and a wingspan of 80 5/8". Like, he's a freaking condor. And I don't want to put this on him because this is a great football player. But that length and that size at that weight gives you shades of Shaq Leonard. Now, Shaq Leonard was a great, great football player. Like, this is not saying that Jalen Carlisle is going to be that.
The takeaway, you know, propensity is there. That gets you excited.
But, I mean, just the arm length that he possesses. Like, if this guy competes his way to get on the field at some point on this defense, that's a guy who, you know, if he's playing, you know, zone coverage over the middle of the field, all of a sudden you're thinking it's going to be hard to throw on this guy. Just and that's something, if you look at what his profile was in college, he was a good tackler, but he was also good in coverage when he had to match up against a tight end or a running back. And you can see the vision for this guy, the athletic profile, the long arms that he has, the production he had in college. I love when a team makes a pick like this. Hey, you played safety, you know, for college. You started as a corner, then he went and played safety.
Yeah.
But we view you as a linebacker, and we view you in a way that, you know, we think you can be an impact player for this team, at least starting on special teams and then maybe working your way up into the defense at some point.
Well, you ask yourself, I mean, what kind of depth does this guy give you based on his profile? And you say everything. I mean, also, too, Casey, there's, I think, within this scheme and this system and this coaching staff, there's a precedent here with Ronnie Harrison.
Exactly. That's honestly what I kept thinking about, hearing, you know, all of his versatility. You think of what that role that Ronnie Harrison played, especially late. I mean, you're talking, you know, last game of the season, Ronnie Harrison being asked to do a lot because
of... Go back to safety.
Yeah, I mean, those are certain things that are very, very valuable. Ronnie Harrison even talked about how, like, you know, initially they telling me I want to play linebacker, but then you realize what that means, and it shows how important they feel you are to a team. And if this guy can kind of follow in those footsteps, I completely agree. And another little thing, too, he's a two-time academic, you know, honor roll member in the SEC. So, you know, it fits the bill for a Chris Ballard player at this
point.
Well,
that's point. Not hard you know, to I do, mean, JJ. Come on. I mean, Missouri.
Yeah.
You're giving him too much. Totally kidding, obviously.
So, okay, real quick, though. I do want to, because I went and looked this up. So, Shaq Leonard coming out, he had 34 3/8-inch arms and a wingspan of 82 1/8, which is like that. I mean, that's insane. Carlisle is at 34 1/4 and 80 5/8".
Okay.
So, like, again, I'm talking about literally just his arms.
Just his arms, yeah.
Nothing else, kind of similar.
Interesting.
Nothing else. Nothing else yet. Similar in that arm length.
We'll see if he can get on the field. Obviously, the Colts are pretty stacked in terms of depth on defense, but this gives you an intriguing wild card piece at multiple areas. And speaking of that, here's Carlisle on what the scheme he played in Missouri, how that allowed him to play multiple positions and, again, thrive.
I feel like with the scheme that that we played in these past 2 years at Mizzou really helped me and opened me up to showing that I can be more down in the box and have a box role, and also being able to play post when I need to as well. So I feel like this scheme that we were in allowed me to open up and show that I can play more than just one position.
Is there a few players you looked at like, okay, I can take something from his game, or this is a player that I, you know, model my game after, or I look up to in the league?
So I've seen guys like Kyle Hamilton, Derwin James, those guys that can kind of do both, the bigger safeties as well, that can kind of just come down and also be in the post as well when they're needed.
All right, Jalen Carlisle out of Missouri right there at pick number 151. At pick number 155 for the Colts, the Colts trade a fifth-round pick to the Philadelphia Eagles for a fifth-round 164 and also a sixth-rounder today at 201. So the Colts move back in the fifth round 9 spots to get the sixth-round pick they gave up on Friday. So with pick 164, the Colts drafted Jalen Simpson. He's a defensive back out of Auburn, played safety and corner in college. The Colts are going to list him as a corner, I believe. Simpson was second-team All-SEC last year, played in the Senior Bowl. He was a 5-year player at Auburn, and he had 3 different head coaches, so he was able to overcome that piece of adversity. But this past season, 4 picks, took 1 back for a touchdown, finished his career with 21 passes knocked down, a former 3-sport athlete in college. He was All-State in both the high jump and in basketball, also played baseball. I think even he played some quarterback in high school based on what I saw. But at the combine, JJ, this is another athletic freak. 39.5 vertical jump, ran the 40-yard dash in 4.45 seconds. Played a ton of football in the SEC and was able to go up against elite competition like Neighbors and Jaden Daniels and Brian Thomas. So this guy he's ready for the show, if you will, in the NFL because he played a ton in the farm system that is the SEC.
Yeah, I like looking at just some of those athletic testing profiles, like you mentioned, for a guy who did play a lot of safety in college, but. You know, again, he's got adequate speed to play corner. He can, jump at almost 40 inches, like you mentioned, Mate. And then the production he had at Auburn was good. I mean, 7 total interceptions in his college career, 14 pass breakups. He had the 4 interceptions in 2023. At 179 pounds, maybe he needs to put on a little bit of weight, maybe potentially gain a little bit there, just to deal with the size and speed of NFL receivers, but a guy who absolutely fits the athletic requirements of playing cornerback in the NFL and presumably playing outside cornerback in the NFL.
Casey, surprised the Colts waited until their 7th draft pick to pick a corner. I mean, a top cornerback on the roster is probably still in debate right now, but at least Simpson gives you a lot of flexibility.
Yeah, I mean, definitely there's a surprise just because for the last 3 months, it seems like that is the biggest need according to everybody out there that has put out a mock draft or anybody you're watching. I mean, it seems like corner was a very, prominent position that the Colts were going to be selecting, not just in the draft, but early in the draft. And you, as you mentioned, you do wait later. I was always a big believer, honestly, of what this team had already on the roster. I was okay with what you had. Juju Brent showed that when he's healthy, he can play at a pretty high level. I think Jalen Jones really did grow as the season went on. And if you get Dallas Flowers back, I really do like that group, especially with Kenny Moore, being that veteran guy. So I didn't look at it as like this glaring need you had to address. I do like them going and getting some depth there because you're always going, you can never have too many corners. It's also one of those, I feel like I say this about every position, you can't have too many of those, but definitely at corner, you definitely need to always have a good amount of guys at that spot. So maybe I'm a little surprised it took him to this point, but I'm not at all surprised at why they decided to go with this guy with all those athletic traits you talk about.
I just want to throw this out there about the Colts cornerbacks too, where the way that they usually play them, you have one guy who in this case is Juju Brent, who's kind of playing that man coverage. You're in press right up against your guy on one side. And then the other side is a corner who's going to play off coverage, which in this case was Jalen Jones last year. And I think we all know the talent that Juju has. We've seen it. He's a second-round pick. He's got the pedigree. But I just want to like do a quick little defense of Jalen Jones here, because I kept seeing people being like, well, you can replace him. Jalen Jones last year, if Jalen Jones stunk, if he was bad, teams would have picked on him a lot more than they did. Among cornerbacks who played, this looks like about 400 coverage snaps minimum last year. Jalen Jones played 475 coverage snaps. He was only targeted 57 times. If he was awful, yeah, teams would have been throwing at him all day long, and they didn't do it. And then think about it this way. Well, okay, what if that's maybe more of a function of the way Gus Bradley plays defense? Then why do you need to spend a high pick to upgrade over someone who maybe isn't going to get the ball thrown at him that much?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Jalen Jones last year, if you look at Pro Football Focus, they have a stat that's yards per coverage snap allowed, which, you know, it's one of those where, like, whenever I bring it up to people, they're like, oh, you just made that up. But it does show how
was
many...
Was that a niner in there?
Right. But it tells you, hey, if this guy stinks, yeah, this number's going to be high. Because no matter how many snaps you're playing, they're going to be thrown at you a bunch. You're going to be giving up explosive plays all over the place. Jalen Jones last year allowed 0.72 yards per coverage snap. Here's the context. That's the fourth lowest a rookie has had in the last 10 years, behind three guys, Sauce Gardner, Joey Porter Jr., and Nate Hobbs. So, again,
wow, okay,
and that's one stat that doesn't mean Jalen Jones is like in the same era as those guys. But if he sucked, they would have been throwing at him a lot more.
Yeah.
Chris Ballard, if you've listened to everything that he has said leading up to this draft, it has been, we like our corners. They got experience last year. They're no longer rookies. We feel good about them. This draft shows you that those words, they actually meant something,
yeah,
from Chris Ballard.
Yeah.
They meant that, hey, we believe in these guys. The Colts still added a couple guys in the cornerback room. Maybe you still add a veteran in there. But it wasn't this like red line need of like, we got to get a corner on day one. Okay, we didn't get him. We got to get a corner on day two. Okay, we didn't get him. We got to get a corner with our first couple picks on day three. We didn't do that. That's because the Colts believe in these guys. And believe the Colts when they tell you they believe in them.
Well, actions speak louder than words, right? And that's the case here where the Colts don't address that perceived need right away, at least in the first, you know, three rounds of the draft. But you're right. It certainly does tell you that Jalen Jones is a building piece, and there's a lot to like about what he showed in his rookie campaign. And with Simpson in mind, it's just another guy that can play. He can play free safety. He can play cornerback. He said he had some contact with Gus Bradley and that he'll do whatever it takes to get on the field here. Some quick sound on Simpson. Again, this is him being ready for the NFL because of all that talent he saw every Saturday in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, SEC, man, we play against the biggest and the baddest. You know, a bunch of those guys went in the first round. Played against, like, neighbors for 3 years, Jaden Daniels. Like, all those guys, and you know, playing against them, playing against guys on my team, just prepared the right way. I feel like it's the best conference. It's the closest thing to the NFL. But, you know, starting at corner and safety and, you know, playing those 5 years at Auburn has really molded me into a great player. And I just felt like it was the right time for me to, you know, take it to the next level and, you know, just continue to do what I've been doing.
Indeed, Jalen Simpson right there. All right, after him, we had to wait a little bit. We had to wait until pick 201. The Colts here in the sixth round, this is the pick they got back. They drafted Micah Abraham from Marshall, fellas. This is a non-Power 5 pick, of course, and he's kind of a smaller corner. He's 5'11", 185, 190-ish. Redshirt senior coming out, but he was an absolute beast, a menace in the secondary for Marshall the last 3 years. He started every game during that span except for one, and his play this past season earned him first-team All-Sun Belt honors for the second consecutive season. Last year, six picks placed him tied for third in college football, also tied for the lead in the Sun Belt, had double-digit pass breakups the past three seasons. In fact, I think he holds the Marshall career record for passes defensed with 55. So, Casey, wow, great ball skills, really good speed, competed in track and field in the 100 meters, 200 meters, 4x100, 4x400. And the bloodlines. You talked about the bloodlines.
Yeah.
Old Pops played in the NFL as well.
There. Yeah, yeah. Donnie Abraham. I remember watching him play. And then he also said his cousin is Tim Jennings, and we all remember.
Oh, Tim Jennings.
I love when you look at the bloodlines. Like, that's always really fun to me, because what I gain from that is what we see out of Josh Downs. They just kind of know how to be a pro. So you already come in a little bit more on the mature side of how to handle your business, because you have seen...
There's no doubt.
I mean, yeah. You have seen the way that it, you know, what it takes to be successful in this league. And you talk about his bloodline, very successful guys in that family at this level. And I kind of love this pick. When you go late, you go at a guy out of Marshall who,
yep, you,
the numbers are there.
Yeah, captainship, 100%.
All
traits
of that is there. So I am all for this. And you never know. You might be able to find a gym this late in a guy that you can plug in and play, and he can have a really good career.
Yeah. Did you see, JJ, did you see his Zoom interview? Really well-spoken guy.
Very
well,
highly
intelligent.
I saw the clip of his dad, who's the defensive coordinator for the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Yes.
In the what is that, the
UFL. Yep.
I feel bad. I have a bunch of friends who are actually Battlehawks season ticket holders who are probably going to be like, you should know what that is. But that was really cool seeing that moment.
I don't think anybody's going to hold that against you, buddy.
There are some people. Battlehawks sell out their games, man. Anyway, this is not a St. Louis Battlehawks podcast. This is about the Colts.
Yeah. What a tailgate town, huh?
They no. Okay, we're not going on this tangent, because they do tailgate really well for Battlehawks games.
Your word for it.
Really, really, really cool story for him. You know, a guy who goes to Marshall, he's kind of undersized, mm-hmm. but like he makes plays. 12 career interceptions, 10 of which came in the last 2 years. You know, a guy who, you know, sometimes you just late in a draft, if a guy's athletic and he's got ball skills at corner, yeah, just go get him.
And he's going to battle as you know what off
right.
to make
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what you want. That's what you're going for, is guys that just get it, love football, especially late in the draft.
Yep.
Right, and so that's what the Colts do here in the sixth round. So Abraham is a guy to keep an eye on, and here he is talking about what he brings to the table and all that production despite being quote-unquote undersized.
You know, I'm someone who obviously they'll say is undersized, but, you know, I'm someone who plays with a chip on his shoulder. I'm someone who has to be good and excel in different areas because of that. So, you know, one of the things I can bring is obviously my speed, my game IQ, and just my ball production.
Do you see yourself as like a nickel corner? Is that what you played a lot in college, or what was kind of your background there?
Yeah, so I started at outside corner, but obviously I feel like I'm very versatile. My freshman year at Marshall, I started at safety because it's what they needed and it's what they asked of me. And I played a couple games at nickel. So, you know, anything the Colts need me to do, I feel like I can do that, whether it's being at nickel or being outside.
All the right answers right there from Micah Abraham from Marshall. He's now in the fold here with the Colts in the sixth round. All right, then with the last pick in their draft, again, we had to wait a little bit, fellas. Pick 234, Colts draft defensive lineman Jonah Laulalu. All right, we'll see again if we can get final pronunciation from him when he comes in for rookie minicamp. One more time, Jonah Laulalu from Oklahoma started his career at Hawaii, then transferred to the Sooners. Last year, he played in 13 games, made 3 starts. All of those starts came at the beginning of the season. Didn't really put up huge numbers last year. Had 11 tackles, 3 for loss. He had a sack. Was not invited to the combine, but spent some time playing defensive end as well, so he plays inside, outside. Really no surprise there in terms of what the Colts prioritize with Chris Ballard. Loves that position flexibility from his defensive line draft picks. But at his pro day, he stepped up. 9 foot 10 inch broad jump, 36 inch vertical, mm-hmm. both of which would have ranked first among defensive tackles at the combine. Had a really good 40-yard dash. So, again, JJ, you're drafting for traits at the end of the draft, and this dude might be a diamond in the rough, but, of course, a really tough position to crack based on the depth the Colts have up front.
Yeah, you know, you're looking at the seventh round, and you're kind of, all right, do we go after this guy as a priority free agent? Do we, you know, just say, yeah, forget it, we want to make sure we get him here
right.
instead of risking him to that pool? And, you know, the Colts are a team that is always going to bet on traits. They're always going to bet on the explosive athlete. And that's what this guy is. He's, you know, at 292 pounds, he ran a sub-5.40. Like you mentioned, Maytay, the 36-inch vertical, the really impressive broad jump. That's an explosive athlete right there. and this is the kind of guy who the Colts have shown time and time again they are going to bet on. And, I mean, you're right. The depth chart at defensive tackle is – that ain't easy to crack with, obviously, you've got, you know, DeForest Buckner, Grover Stewart at the top of it, Raekwon Davis coming in as a free agent, Taven Bryan coming back. That's kind of, you know, your four veterans. And then you still have Adetamiwa Adebare, yeah. Eric Johnson the second. So you kind of have six guys who have some equity within this team, whether it's through their contract, through experience with the coaching staff, or both, that now – you know, give me the pronunciation again. Lulu? Laulu?
Laulu.
Yeah. According to Oklahoma's website, Jonah Laululu.
Laululu.
Yeah. So
thank you.
Yeah. A lot of O's.
Laululu is going to have to really, you know, compete mm-hmm. his butt off to make this team. But, again, hey, you get a guy with the right athleticism in the right situation who's got – he's going to learn from some of the best in the league. And, you know, you never want to rule those guys out.
No doubt about it. All right, so that is the draft haul for the Colts on this Saturday as we kind of wrap up this podcast. And obviously we'll get into more depth and detail next week when we have more time to let the dust settle and crunch these numbers and these players and get to know them with more familiarity here, Casey. But I'll just throw it to you first. What do you make of the draft haul in totality? Big picture question. I know we're just minutes after the draft has concluded, but how much better did the Colts get this weekend?
Well, I think you got to start with the guys. They take it, you know, the first and the second picks of this draft class, very impact guys that probably, when you look at what they're going to do as rookies, are going to make an impact early, and that's what you're looking for with those spots. And then, I mean, ultimately, the depth pieces you've added, you really set yourself up. I know JJ talks about you're not drafting for your needs today. You're looking at what is your go-to
your
phrase?
Needs today or not your needs
there
tomorrow.
You go. So that phrase, it applies so well with what this team did.
It's like
with,
your grocery list,
right?
Casey.
It's perfect. I mean, I
never shop on an empty stomach.
Never. Well, I know that all too well.
Honestly, that's a pretty good. That's pretty good advice for the draft too.
Yeah.
Never draft on, you know, an empty depth chart.
Yeah,
but I mean that ultimately, when I look at that, you look at the offensive line, you can never just be satisfied with what you have, and you think about it. Yeah, you're returning all five starters, but then you start looking at the contracts and how that's going to even out, and you've addressed those spots where if something were to happen, let's say Ryan Kelly, you know, at the end of this year decides to go elsewhere or something. You've got some guys in the fold there, or, you know, Will Fries, if he has another big year and yeah. his contract gets to the point where it's too high for needs,
right.
when you look at what you're already paying this line, that's what you got to look at.
Good
you know,
point.
You have guys under contract for this year. It's a year-to-year league. Yeah, maybe you didn't get as many impact guys that are going to step in and be starters, but there's a reason for that. It's because you essentially bring back the entire yeah. starting roster from last year.
JJ, the biggest thing that stands out to me now, and it's fun to look at this kind of stuff going into the start of OTAs, and obviously, again, we have a ways to go before training camp, but the wide receiver depth now. You got Pittman, you got Downs, you got Mitchell, Gould, Pierce, Ashton Doolin. That's six right
uh-huh.
there. That
yeah.
means – Who in the heck are you going to cut if you're going to try to keep only five, which I don't think the Colts will. I think they'll expand that position roster to six going into training camp, or I should say the regular season. But, man, that's if you're playing a game right now, that's a pretty good lineup.
Yeah, I think the depth there you're feeling really good about, whereas last year, you know, the Colts primarily played the same three guys. It was Pittman, it was Pierce, and it was Josh Downs
mm-hmm.
With, you know, a little bit of Isaiah McKenzie sprinkled in there. But then when someone went down – you know, you're calling DJ Montgomery up from the practice squad,
yeah.
Who did an admirable job. But, you know, you'd like those guys, those depths to come right on your roster. So,
yeah.
You know, we'll kind of see where that goes. But, yeah, you definitely feel better about that group.
And about what the Colts have added, you know, from Mitchell and Gold on the outside. All right, good stuff right there. Again, JJ Stankovic, Casey Vallier, a very busy weekend and a very busy day. And that will do it for us, but we definitely encourage you to take about 10 minutes and just check out all the content on Colts.com and the Colts mobile app. Check out the written word, videos, podcasts, picture galleries of all the draft picks, some behind-the-scenes content, too. It's going to definitely be worth your while, and you can get up to speed on the Colts and their draft haul from this weekend. Casey, get some sleep tonight, my friend.
I'm going to try. That's for sure. It's been, you know, we're probably all rolling on about, you know, 3 hours a night. So we're going to try to sleep in a little bit on Sunday. That's
indeed.
For sure.
Back at it next week, though, breaking it all down. We'll have more podcasts, of course. Talk about this draft class in depth next week. But that'll do it here as we shut it down. Casey Vallier, J.J. Stankovitz, I'm Matt Taylor. Thanks for listening to Overtime following day number 3. And we'll be back next week with more content, as always, on the Colts Audio Network. Until then, everybody, thanks for listening. So long. Have a great rest of your weekend.